When security officials try to predict where terrorists might attack, one of their biggest worries is an attack on a chemical plant. Government reports say there are more than 100 chemical facilities in various cities where sabotage could kill or injure a million people or more. A senator from New Jersey, a state known for its chemicals, proposed requiring industry executives to make their plants safer. But money and politics got in the way. NPR's Daniel Zwerdling has the second of two reports on protecting chemical plants from terrorism.
Think about this idea. If industry executives could change the way they do business so they don't need big tanks of dangerous chemicals, then there'd be a lot fewer targets to blow up. The idea sounds like an environmentalist fantasy, but a hard-headed businessman named Mike Marcotte has made the fantasy come true, at least at his facility here in Washington, D.C. Marcotte is deputy manager of the city's sewage treatment plant. It's a series of brown rectangular pools on the banks of the Potomac River. Marcotte says until 9/11, this plant did what most treatment plants do. They cleaned the sewage with millions of gallons of chlorine. Chlorine can work wonders, but it's also super toxic. It was used as a chemical weapon in World War I.
The risk management scenarios that we had prepared previously for an accidental release had told us that people within an 8 to 10 mile radius would be adversely affected if one of those tank cars went up.
So basically, there could be a green chlorine cloud over the entire Washington area.
That's correct.
So right after 9/11, Marcotte got rid of the chlorine and he switched to a safer chemical instead. He says the new system costs more. Almost $1 million extra per year. So every Washingtonian is paying more on their sewage bills, but not much.
So in other words, somebody like me living in this area, you're saying I'm paying about 50 cents more?
25 to 50 cents, depending on
per
how
year,
per year.
To avoid having a chlorine disaster annihilating a big part of Washington, D.C.?
Correct. I think a pretty good bargain.
And this is exactly the kind of change that public health specialists want to encourage. They say, look, every business can't get rid of its most dangerous chemicals. In some cases, it's too expensive. Maybe it's technically impossible. But they say history suggests that many executives won't even try unless the government pushes them to do it. And so Democratic Senator John Corzine of New Jersey has been pushing a bill that would require executives to do just that and see if they can cut back on deadly chemicals. The powerful Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works embraced Corzine's bill. They passed it unanimously last summer.
Got a vote in my committee 19 to 0. 19 in favor, nobody opposed. Pretty nice. I was thinking we were going to have a lot of success.
But then, executives in the chemical industry went on the attack. Just about every trade group you can think of that has to do with chemicals, oil refiners, paint companies, fertilizer makers, they all barraged Congress with angry letters and emails and full-page ads. Marty Durbin speaks for some of the biggest chemical companies in the country. He's with a trade group called the American Chemistry Council. Durbin says he won't talk about Corzine's bill or about the industry campaign against it.
There were several legislative proposals that came through last Congress, and we worked to try to improve some of them. But frankly, that's history now, and that we believe we are doing what needs to be necessary and looking forward.
But here is some of that history. The chemical companies and their allies fought practically every detail in Corzine's security bill. They said it would unleash a jihad against the industry by giving government too much power. Durbin says he will say this. Industry does not need government bureaucrats telling them how to cut back on toxic chemicals.
Well, frankly, we think it would not be necessary. It is already part of our culture of safety and responsible care that our member companies already do that.
The industry's lobby campaign paid off. Only a month and a half after the Senate committee unanimously passed the chemical security bill, six Republican senators changed their positions. One of them had hailed the chemical bill as vitally important to the American people, but now he and his colleagues told the rest of Congress to oppose it. None of those senators agreed to talk with us about why they changed their positions, but the organization called Common Cause dug up some possible clues. It turns out that five of those six lawmakers were among the top recipients of money from the chemical industry in the last election. It also turns out that the chemical industry's chief lobbyist was one of President Bush's top fundraisers. Corzine's chemical security bill was essentially dead. We wanted to interview a White House spokesman about all this. The White House declined to comment. But one administration official agreed to talk. Al Martinez-Fonts is a top aide to Tom Ridge at the Department of Homeland Security. Before that, he was an executive at the banking firm, J.P. Morgan Chase.
I was in private sector all my life. Did I like it when the government stepped in and told the banks to do certain things? The answer is no. In general, we don't like to be told what to do.
Martinez-Fonts says the battle over the chemical security bill reflects a bigger issue. Private industry owns more than 90% of the critical infrastructures that make this country tick, like food and energy, banking and transportation, and chemicals. Behind the scenes, administration officials have been squabbling over a crucial question. Should the government force corporations to do what they need to do to protect the country from terrorists?
That is an area of great debate. In many cases, the government does mandate things. We have mandates for safe airplanes, but in general, in terms of homeland security, we have not done that with a lot of areas.
Why do you think that it makes sense that the federal government told the airline industry, you've got to be safer and here's how you're going to do it? And why does it not make sense for the government to take that same role with, say, the chemical industry?
Well, the answer is because September 11th happened and there were airplanes that were rammed into buildings, and it was not chemical plants that were blown up.
Some critics we've talked to say, here's what we think is going on. The federal government is facing a war. It needs to tell industry how to make the country safer. But President Bush and all his advisors hate the idea of big government, and they feel uncomfortable telling industry what to do.
Yes, I would agree that the administration has been very proactive towards business, promoting business issues, etc. The point is, people are concerned that a lot of regulation, a lot of legislation might ultimately come out. I think we're trying to avoid that. I, as the person representing the private sector in Homeland Security, would prefer to avoid that altogether.
Any day now, officials in the Bush administration are expected to propose a compromise. They're expected to say that chemical plants do need to be safer. They'll say that the federal government does have to set the standards. But government sources say the proposal will be much weaker than the bill that Senator Corzine tried to pass. For instance, it will not require executives to try to cut their use of dangerous chemicals because the White House doesn't want to overregulate. I'm Daniel Zwerdling for NPR News.